hearts are fearful because of all the changes in the world around us and what it all means and our place in it. As we listen to words this morning, an ancient text to a gathered people, shape our hearts and form us, O God, so that we may know what is your will and our place in it. What is your calling and our response to it? And in all things, allow us to be still and know that you are God. Amen. Imagine if in my relationship with my dear wife, Ingrid, she said to me something like this. You know, Jim, I wish you'd help around the house more. Oh, she can't say that because I'm never actually home, but let's say she did. And I was like, okay, well, how is it do you want me to do that? Now, we do not shape our relationship like this, all right? But work with me on this for a second. And I said, what do you want me to do? And she said, well, there's a list of things that you could help with that would make life better around here. And let's say she says, after supper, it'd be nice if you would clean up your dishes. And let's say for fun that I just clean up my dishes and nobody else's. And she said, and then later she's kind of upset, and then she said, well, what are you upset about? And I did what you said. And she said to me, you did exactly what I told you to do, and no more. Exactly what I said that you were supposed to do. And she was upset because I was listening, but I wasn't listening. But let's say for fun that that's something that I did. Or let's say you asked me, what's your relationship with God like right now, Jim? And I'd say, oh, I think it's pretty good. And you'd say, well, why is that? And I'd say, well, I'm doing all the right things. And you'd say, well, what are those things? And I'd say, well, I read my Bible, and I try and serve in the community and bring socks next Sunday, dark ones, of course. And you're saying, I try and listen to God. And what you might say to me then is, your relationship with God is a checklist? Is that the way it works? Or you said to me, what's your relationship with Ingrid like? And I say, I'm doing all the right things. And you're like, oh, is that the way it works? The people of Israel have gone through a mess. Last week we looked at the call of Abraham, and this week it's the calling of Moses. And they have gone from deliverance from Egypt through all the plagues, and miraculously and amazingly, God has delivered them. And now they're on Mount Sinai, where they meet, Moses comes to speak to God. Even before Moses gets to the top of the mountain, God speaks to Moses about his relationship to Moses and the people of Israel. And he says something interesting. He says, if you will listen obediently to me, to what I say, and keep my covenant of all the peoples, you'll be my special treasure. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read through that text a number of times this week, I thought about the concept and the problem of obedience and how it shaped Israel's life. You see, if you take the long trajectory in the people of Israel's life, the problem was they fell away, of course. They fell away numerous times. But they also, in the long run, made it purely about obedience. By the time Jesus came, the religious ruling party, obedience was it, really, right? The Pharisees, not to judge these folks, they were trying to be sincere. I mean, they said, if you can get your head around it, and I've probably said this before, if you walk through a field when it's ankle high, a wheat field, you could do that on a day of rest like today, the Sabbath was just a day of rest. But if you do that when it's knee-high, you break the heads of wheat, and it constitutes threshing, which is work, so you couldn't, right? You can put a bandage on a sore on the Sabbath to keep it from getting worse, but if that bandage is promoting healing, then that's work. At one point, Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, the day of rest, and after that, because they were angry about this, said, if you had a child or an ox that's fallen into a well, wouldn't you pull it out on the Sabbath? And it says they were silent. And I think they're silent because they're like, Well, you got us. I don't know. What would you do? We can't work on the Sabbath, so you wouldn't save a child's life. Like, you understand here that they had missed the point completely and made it about the wrong things, which is why Jesus often quotes Hosea, who says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You see, in a healthy relationship, our obedience, as it were, is an outflow, not the starting point. If you've got trouble with your kids, if you're a parent, there are a number of ways to look at the issue of their wandering from what you're trying to teach them. But one of the places to start is, how are you doing? Have you ever noticed that if the relationship, again, not always, but how often the relationship, if it's better between you and the child, the relationship of how things flow between you just seems to work better. It just seems to work better. Likewise, in my relationship with Ingrid, it's not about me listening to her or her listening to me in the same way, but in a healthy relationship where communication flows, there's a number of things that just naturally kind of flow from it. Not without lots of effort and conversation, but you understand that it's a flow. It's not about obeying the rules, right? So that's one of the things that is really critical as you look at that. The people of Israel missed the point so often. In truth, what will happen is the people of Israel, when they wander, God will find them. And when they wander, God will search for them. And when they leave the path, God will look for them, because that's what God does. God is in the business of finding lost people. When Jesus said, leave the 99, go after the lost sheep till he finds it, the woman loses a precious coin and searches the house till she finds it. In both cases, they have parties, because God is in the business of searching for lost people. People who wander, who fail, who don't obey, is in the character and the heart of a God who loves us. That's what God does. That's what God does. There's another problem with this text, and that's the idea that God says, you'll be my special treasure. That's what the message says. The other way of saying it is, you'll be my chosen people. Now, the problem with me being chosen is that you're not. And what happened in the people of Israel's life is that's what did happen. They took that to the nth degree. They didn't see, as we saw last week, that the call of God to Abraham was that you would be a blessing through you all the nations of the earth. All of them would be blessed, not just... When I started the gathering church, there was a verse from Isaiah that really caught my spirit, where Isaiah says, it's a too small a thing that you've been called to shepherd the people of Israel. I've called you as a light to the nations, for the whole community, for the whole earth. You see? That's why when Jesus came along, the sense of chosenness, and he told two stories in his first sermon, I referred to the sermon before, when he goes to his hometown of Nazareth, and he tells two stories about Elisha, who cleanses Naaman the Syrian, and Elijah, they cleanse people from the outside. They cleanse people who are the widow at Zarephath, and Sidon was the second one. And so these are both Gentiles. They're outsiders. And the people of Israel are so angry. It says they led Jesus to the brow of the hill and they wanted to kill him. Why? Because all of a sudden he's listing people from the outside as being loved, chosen, and favored, and cared about by the God of the universe. That's the other problem with this text, right? The writer of 1 Peter picks up on this theme that we heard from Exodus 19 and the call of God to be with them, and he says this: you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. The same themes that we heard about from Exodus 19, but here's the commissioning: in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, the point of being chosen by God is that we're invited to be a light for God. It's never meant to hide under a bushel. It's not meant to keep to ourselves. It's meant so that we can bear witness to the transforming love, mercy, and care of God in our lives. That's the declaration. Listen, I could start my relationship with Ingrid, my friendship with her, by doing everything she tells me to do, if we framed our marriage in such a way, and we don't. But the other thing I can do is start with the friendship itself and let my actions flow from there. In some ways, it's easier to focus on the actions. And I'm going to invite you into that possibility this morning. The actions that you claim to do for God. I'll bring socks next week. I come to church. At least sometimes I do. I try to come occasionally. I pray occasionally. I try to do the right things. And you could have a checklist in your life that makes you feel good. But another question you could ask is, you could be doing all the right things and your heart is still far from God. Your heart is hard. It may be hurt or broken or torn. Am I saying your actions aren't important? Not for a second. But it's not the only thing. Here's another question for you this morning. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that you're God's beloved? You see, in the Exodus story, God tells the people of Israel, I carried you. Do you remember how I carried you on eagle's wings? Because that's what I do. I'm going to invite you into that possibility as we enter into our communion shortly. Let's pray together. God, thank you that your grace is enough, that you carried the people of Israel, that you loved them in spite of, that they were chosen to be a witness for the world, and it was not small. We thank you that it wasn't ultimately only about obedience, but they were shaped by your calling and caring in their lives. Forgive us when we make things a checklist and not a flow. Guard and keep our hearts, God, so that we may know that to which you've called us this day.